Morning all. You're all right. Well, hello. Hello. It's good to see you. Before he dashes, nice to have Simpson playing the cajon for us this morning. He's off to Bognor to our meeting down there. But I just thought I'd let you know that Mel and Simo are having another, guess what, fill in the blank. Another baby. Five? Simpson, mate. We can fix that for you. Anyway, so congratulations to you. It's great, good news, though. So I don't know if he's praying for a boy this time or what, but for those who don't know, four girls so far and counting. So we shall see. It's good to see you. For those who don't know me, my name's Steve. I have the joy of leading Grace Church here in Chichester and in Bognor and soon to be in Midhurst as well. And it's good for me this morning because I'm here right through because... We've got five elders now, and two of them are going to be leading the meeting down there, and I don't need to worry about it this morning, so that's good news, especially with testimonies and stuff, so I'll even get to have coffee with you at the end. A delight for me. Hope you had a nice Christmas. Is it all right? Did anyone get a jumper as cool as mine? Look, some of you saw it already. Look at that. Look at that, it lights up, and look, they do things. They flash. And they're good. Isn't that good? That's what I call a Christmas jumper. Yeah, and I figured today was my last chance to wear it. It has to go back in the wardrobe for a whole year now. And it probably ought to. It's got a big label in the back that says, do not machine wash, do not tumble dry, do not hand wash. This is a non-washable garment, just to make it absolutely clear. So I don't know how long it'll last, really. I'll air it out the window or something like that. That's probably all I'll be able to do with it and not eat it when I have my food. So... That's great, but listen, anybody, who else is wearing a new Christmas jumper, coat or top? Put your hands up if you are, right? So come on, standing up for us, please. We want a model, new jumper, Christmas. I'm seeing Batman. Yes, fantastic. Look, it pulls up and makes you into Batman. That's pretty good. And Matt, is this a plain jumper? Fantastic. You can use that when you go on burglaries, can't you? No one will spot you. Christmas! Oh, Chris, go on, your people are 12. Tesco's value Christmas jumper. Oh, isn't that good? Did anyone get anything unexpected for Christmas? Did we have any surprise presents? Anything we're prepared to say? A onesie in the TARDIS, like Doctor Who. Fantastic. Time-travelling TARDIS. Not onesie. We like it. Anything else we're going to own up to? Any unusual presents? Go on, Sam. A bubble wrap suit. So what do you do with a full-body bubble wrap suit?
You run into things and you hear it pop.
Fantastic. And, as a man in his first year of marriage, if you upset your wife, Gail, you can just... smack him one, it's five, bubble wrap suit. Yeah, that sounds fantastic. A bubble wrap suit, very good. Very good, hope you enjoyed the Christmas party. It was fun to sing, wasn't it fun? We had a good time. So I hope you enjoyed the performance, Joe, and I will, you know, who knows, we may even save you one up for next year as well, but we're struggling to think of things to top it, really. I was picking up, I don't know if you saw on the news... The importance, obviously, in British airspace that all pilots are properly checked. And so this year the Civil Aviation Authority did a check on Santa. Did you hear that? He had to go through a check. They were going to put him through a sim check, if you know what I mean, but they couldn't find one for a sleigh, so they had to do a proper live airspace check. And they put him through different scenarios. As they were taking off from the North Pole, Santa spotted that the Aviation Authority inspector had with him a rifle. And Santa said, what on earth have you got a rifle for? You're not going to hijack me, are you? And the guy said, no, but I should warn you that in this scenario, you will be experiencing engine failure. Engine failure, shoot a reindeer. Yeah. I was looking at me, what? No. That's not very nice. It's a joke. It's not real. So you're allowed. Anyway, okay. We're going to have some tests. I thought it was funny. Nothing. All right, What's the most popular wine at Christmas?
Well, I don't like Brussels sprouts.
Is that better? Yeah. I'm improving? Yeah, that's quicker too. Okay. So This morning will be a little different. A mixture this morning of talk and testimonies. And so the plan is I want to say a few little bits up front, and then at the end and in the middle we're going to hear some testimonies from people. If you've got a Bible, why don't you grab it and turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 9, if you've got a Bible with you. I'm sure our stewards have some if you haven't got them, but I shouldn't worry too much because lots of it will be on the screen. I'm not going to talk for long. 1 Peter chapter 1, lovely book of the Bible. It was a letter written by Peter, who was Jesus' apostle. You know, this is Peter, the rock on which I will build my church. Peter, the one who said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Peter who denied him and ran away. That Peter. And Peter wrote, and he wrote it to all God's people. He said to the saints scattered all across the world. The ESV uses the very grand word in the first verse, the word diaspora. Can you see that? It just means that Christians have been scattered all around the world, dispersed into the different nations through the persecution of the church that had gone on. And so Peter writes to them, he greets them, and if this is to Christians all across the world, it's certainly written to Christians like us today. And verse 3, Peter says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he's caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you've been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you haven't seen him, you love him. Though you don't now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls." Listen, I love these. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." We begin this little bit this morning. We've begun by praising God. Peter starts his letter by praising and blessing God. We always need to be ready to do that, don't we, as Christians? As we go into this new year, as we reflect on what's gone before, let's be those that bless and praise God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're a Christian, regardless of how you may feel, regardless of what you've gone through in this year, we always have so much to be grateful for, like this, for example, that according to his great mercy, he's caused us to be born again. How about that's good news, isn't it? However difficult life is, you might not like your boss, you know, but you ought to remember your next one could be worse. So, hey, I mean, you might not like your job, you might not like your family, but whatever your situation is, according to his great mercy, God has caused you to be born again. And it says, into a living hope. That's good news, because our Christian faith is based not on just believing a set of facts about something that happened. It's based on a relationship with Jesus, who is alive, a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. You know that Jesus isn't dead. He's alive, right? He's not dead, he's alive. Muhammad is dead. Go and see his tomb. Moses is dead. He was buried in a cave in a field. Buddha is dead. Jesus is alive. And all across the world, Christians say, "Hey, I have a relationship with Jesus. I know Jesus. He is at work in my life. He has been raised from the dead." And if you're a Christian, you've been born again, are alive in Jesus now, and he is at work in you today. Jesus died. Jesus was raised. He's a living Saviour. And if Jesus has been raised and you're in him, you'll be raised one day as well to a new body. So forget what's behind, strain to what's ahead. And what's ahead? Well, it says we have an inheritance ahead that's imperishable. It's not bad, is it? It'll never perish. Undefiled, completely pure, unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed at the last time. God guarding us, watching over our lives. As you look back on last year and forward to the next, remember God is guarding us. We've got faith in Jesus. He's watching over us. There's a day coming, a day of salvation, a day when Christ will return. We don't know when it is yet, but it's coming. We have much to look forward to. And so Peter says about all this great truth, as you're saved, you've got living hope, Jesus is working in you, so much to look forward to, and therefore he says you can rejoice in this, even though for a while, if necessary, you've been grieved by various trials. What does that mean, if necessary? We know that life can be tricky, can't it? We go through trials. Who's been through difficulties this last year? Trials and difficulties. Give us a wave. Some of you still going through things, aren't we? We can have testimonies this morning. They're often testimonies of things that are finished, but not all. Sometimes they're things that are ongoing, aren't they? We don't have to wait for it to all be finished to give testimony to God at work in our lives. And trials can cause us grief. They can cause us challenges. And yet Peter, in his letter, says sometimes these trials are necessary. And we can rail against our trials and say, God, take this away from me. God, would you stop this? And sometimes he's using these trials to work in us. He's changing our character. He's transforming us. Says so that the tested genuineness of your faith. You see, you come out of a trial, and at the end of it, you see the tested genuineness of your faith. More precious than gold that perishes, though it's tested by fire. And that faith will result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Gold refined by fire to make it purer. What's it say? We've read this verse to you before. The crucible for silver, the furnace for gold, but God tests the heart. Each one is hotter than the last. If a crucible for silver to purify it, gold needs a furnace. What does the heart need? Oh, it needs God. Hotter than any furnace. Our God, a consuming fire. That's what the book of Hebrews describes him as. Our God at work in our lives to transform us and purify us and burn the dross out of us. And then Peter finishes with this lovely phrase, though you haven't seen him, you love him. Peter saw him, didn't he? Peter saw him when he was first gathering disciples. Peter saw him heal the sick. Peter saw him raise the dead, feed the 5,000. Peter saw Jesus abused and rejected. Peter saw him crucified. Peter saw him raised and glorified. And Peter saw him return. But the writing to Christians all across the world, Peter recognizes, he says, but you haven't seen him, but you love him. And you don't see him now, but you believe in him. And you rejoice with joy inexpressible, filled with glory, because you're obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. You know, we haven't seen Jesus with our eyes, but we love him, and we know he's at work in us. So we have a living hope, we have a living faith, because we have a living God who's at work in our lives. And he's obtaining a good outcome in us, making us more like Christ, preparing us for a day to come. He tests us, though we go through trials, and it's good to give him glory and honor. And one way of doing that is to tell people what God's done in your life, right? So we're going to do that this morning with some quick testimonies from people. And the problem I have, I had loads of volunteers, so I couldn't use all of them. And I don't really know what they're all going to say. But if I tell you up front, I gave them a brief of about 3 minutes and something glorifying to God. Is that all right? And what I'm going to stick around and be ready. So I have to warn you, testimony givers, if it gets too long, I might cough and then I might intervene. All right. So for the sake of us all, we'll leave the heating on. It's a bit chilly. Have you noticed a little chilly? Yeah. Feel free to shuffle and leave your coats on. And that'll be good. Sorry, it's the challenge of this place. First up, come on, Ian. I'm going to have it. This is Ian Mortimer. Come on up, Ian. Let's give Ian a big welcome.
Good morning, all. 2 to 3 minutes. I had a good friend down here when I came up this morning that said, 3 minutes. You haven't spoken in anything for half an hour. So you're actually going to see a world record this morning. So there you go. I've been here about 6 weeks. And you know what it's like when you come somewhere new. You wander in and you're not really sure where to go. And you're the outsider. And you wander into the place. And you don't know what's going to happen. Well, how different is it here? You know, I got accosted before I could even get through the car park gates. Get over there. That's where you want to go. Then I came to the front door and I got accosted 3 times and a coffee put in my hand. And of course, I say accosted, but it's not accosted, is it? It's welcoming. And the big difference to me, and what really made a difference to me being here, is that welcome. I wasn't welcomed as a stranger. I wasn't welcomed as the outsider. I wasn't left to my own devices. I was welcomed as a really good friend. As somebody who'd been here for a long time. And you know, that's an amazing thing. And so this testimony actually is as much about you as it is about me. Because when I came here, I was in a really low ebb. God had given me some guidance. And as we so often do, I kind of ignored him. I know better, don't I? He's only God after all. And I emptied my spiritual bottle. So that welcome made a massive difference. So, you know, whether you're the people out in that car park, getting flooded out, blown away, or like this morning, frozen to death, cooped in the summer, or because it's Britain, frozen to death or blown away or rained on, you do an amazing job. You are Grace Church to the newcomer. You're the first people that are seen. So that's a great job you're doing. You may not realise that, because I'm just in the car park, my nice bright fluorescent that we all love. But you do an amazing job, as do the people that welcome us. And then, of course, I come in here. And I think it was Steve, actually, that was doing the talk. And he spoke directly to me, as he spoke to everybody. And what he said was, and what really hit me, was it's very easy to walk about and go, I don't like you. You really make my life a pain. Why can't you do things differently? Why can't a church be different? Why can't my work be different? But actually, you, as an individual, have a power to do something about that. So don't talk about you and others. Talk about me and I. And that really hit home in that first sermon that day. And that, for me, was about God giving me guidance to say, your time is up in the church you're in. It's time to move on. You've done the work over the 5 years. So I stayed. Some of you may not be happy about that, but I have. So that spoke to me. So then I had a welcome and had this great sermon. And because of that, I felt really comfortable. I felt part of the family. I felt, you know, hugged and all warm and cuddly. So when there was an offer for prayer, I came up to the front and I had prayer. And during that prayer, the person praying for me was given a vision that I was fighting my way through barbed wire and thorns. But he said, Jesus is going to help you. And as he was praying for me, I felt the pressure lift off me. And over the week, a few things happened to take that pressure away. And actually, it's still happening now, as strange as Steve's just said. You know, it carries on working for us. So again, that's about the people here. So that's preaching. It's about the car park attendants. It's about the people doing the welcome. But it's about every single person sat here this morning. Because the other amazing thing when I walked in here is you can feel the presence of the Spirit here. You can feel the power. And that's about every single one of you. That's about allowing Jesus to work through you. It's about being involved. Because if you weren't doing that, Steve could stand up here talking to his heart's content. It would make a blind bit of difference. So every single one of you, make this church the place it is. And then that reminded me of something that God imprinted in my brain when I did the Alpha course a few years back. Second verse he taught me, Psalm 34, 4 and 5. I sought the Lord, and he answered me? Me of all people? Those who looked at him are radiant. Their faces are never hidden in shame. And the reason it reminded me of that is because he didn't just find me once and answer me. He keeps on answering me. And he answers me through everyone that's in here today. And not only does he answer me, he didn't just die on that cross once for us and save us once. He saves us over and over and over again. Every week, every day, every hour if he has to. As long as we seek him. Because if we seek him, he'll answer us. And he answers us through everybody we come into contact with as a Christian who chooses to accept us into our life. And that's all of you. That's Grace Church. So I thank you. I thank God. And I feel very welcome here.
That's great. Thank you, Ian. That's lovely. Bless you, mate. Okay. Some encouragement to start with, right? That's good, isn't it? So somebody new, feeling very welcome, love, blessed is good. Catherine, I'm going to ask you to come up next. This is Catherine Reed. Catherine's a member here, and she's going to share some of what God's been working at in her life through some challenging circumstances. There you go.
I did say he would not be able to do it in 3 minutes. And I've had to write this down in an attempt to try and keep this to 3 minutes and to keep me focused, because this is very difficult for me to share.
Right, put it on the stand if you want. Is that all right? Does that help? There you go.
I joined Grace Church early this year after several years of not going to church. I joined a life group, became a member of this church, and signed up for the Freedom in Christ course. Everything was going well. And then one night in September, my husband of 21 years told me he no longer wanted to be with me. There was no warning. There had been no arguments. There was to be no discussion. or attempt to save our marriage. He had made his mind up and he left the very next day. I've experienced difficult times in my life before, but this was so much worse, and I can't find the words to convey how I felt. And somehow I managed to drag myself to church, because I've learned a long time ago that the days when you don't want to go, those are the days you've got to go. Those are the days when God is going to talk to you. Those are the days when God is going to use people around you to help you. And he did. It was the last thing I wanted to do, but it was the right thing to do. I knew I couldn't do this on my own. I wasn't going to cope with everything. I have a 16-year-old daughter who has a few problems, and her father walking out on us was not going to help those. So what happened? I walked in here, and there was my life group, already there to support me, to love me, to look after me, no judgment. But the most important thing of all was the prayer. Now, a week after that, the Freedom in Christ course started. And during that course, I was able to let go of some of the, actually all of the anger and the bitterness I felt towards my husband and a few members of his family. It had been keeping me awake at night. I hadn't been sleeping very well for weeks. And there was this course that said, all you've got to do is this, this, and this. And I thought, oh yeah, really? That easy? That simple? But by this point, I'd been broken. I'd been broken down. All my barriers, all my, I can do this, I'm strong, I can do this all on my own. I knew that wasn't the case anymore. So I said, okay, that's it. I give my life to you. I surrender my life to you totally. I trust you. And then I slept. And I wasn't kept awake at night anymore, going over and over in my head what was going on. Now, I don't know what God's plan is for my life, and I probably never will do. But I do know it was no coincidence that I joined Grace Church this year. It was no coincidence that I joined a fantastic life group and met some wonderful people. They caught me when I fell. They were my safety net. It was no coincidence that I signed up for the Freedom in Christ course that helped me to deal with my situation. And it was no coincidence that it started when it did. There will be good times ahead, and there's going to be some bad times ahead of me. But now I know I'm not alone. Not only do I have the living God with me, not only am I loved, but I've got all of you, this wonderful church, this beautiful family, and I know now that no matter what happens, I'll be okay. Thank you.
Hey, isn't that precious, yeah? Some precious, precious testimonies this morning. I think it's really important we catch moments like that, because it's so easy sometimes, I said already, for testimonies to come at the end, you know, when it's all done. And actually often we're working through stuff, aren't we? And isn't it a testimony to say, hey, I'm going through something difficult right now and God is still with me. And perhaps that represents a good number of us here today, perhaps more of us than who have something completed to say. So thank you, Catherine, for that. And let's make sure we're praying for Catherine and being really supporting and supportive and encouraging. And well done, Life Group. Good for you. Vivian. Let's welcome Vivian. That's great. I can give you a help up. There we are. All right. Okay.
God is good. All the time. This year, I have so much to thank God for. I thought the 3 minutes was just not enough. So I decided to chip in one during the worship. I hope Steve will forgive me.
Absolutely. Every time, again and again.
If you give me a whole day, I'll be sharing. Because God has been good to me this year. The date was 17th of July, 2014. The day that the Malaysian plane was bombed over Ukraine. And most of you are parents, and I believe you are familiar with school trips. My daughter was traveling to Mbeya, Tanzania, on a school trip. And they were flying over Istanbul, over Ukraine via Istanbul to Tanzania. So 5 o'clock, 5:30, I dropped her at school. And I prayed with her and left her. And if God had not intervened, that would have been it. But I give praise to God, who does not slumber or sleep. He keeps his eyes on his children. 1 o'clock the same day, I heard this news that a plane had been bombed. And I just sprang up. I just got up. And luckily, we had the itinerary. So I took it, and it took me 2 hours to convince myself that it wasn't my daughter's plane. But I prayed all day. 2 weeks, she returned from the trip, and she was so dispirited. I've never seen her like that before, and so lean, and I said, what happened? And she went, and she said, when they reached Tanzania, they were told that their plane was just 10 minutes ahead of the plane that was bombed. And that the pilot said if they had looked through the window, they would have seen the fireball in the air. But the pilot saw it. And I just give thanks to God that he saved me from that calamity. That planes that followed that plane, they were all diverted. But this one was just 10 minutes ahead. Anything could have happened. Probably they have aimed at that plane, but God was there because his anointed were in the plane. I give praise to God because this year he has saved me from calamity, calamity, calamity. But because he lives, I can face tomorrow. And today I give him all the glory, all the praise. I'm not happy that some people perish in there. Accident. But I'm happy that he saved me that sorrow. I'm a mother of 4 children, 3 boys and 1 girl. My only daughter would have gone. God saved me sorrow. That would have cost me my life. I'm giving him praise and thanks. Me and my family, we are really rejoicing this year because he has won victories for us. Blessed be his holy name. Amen.
Okay. That's great, isn't it? Lovely to hear from Viv. Oh, thank you so much. Sorry. Thank you, Wendy. We don't know, do we, always, what God spares us from? Isn't that the case? We go through life, sometimes we face difficulties. I think we'll never know this side of eternity, all the things that God has actually kept from us or kept us from and protected us from. But just 10 minutes ahead. Through the same airspace of the plane that was shot down. Let's thank God that Vivian's family wasn't touched, whilst we remember those who were affected, and indeed news today, others may have been affected by another incident, but we will see. Next testimony is on video. And this is good because I know he kept to the 2 to 3 minute window, so that was cool. Joy, I think we should video them all up front. This is Dan Glover. Dan's a member of our church, and he's at home in Brighton because he's a student. So he said, I just can't be there on the 28th, but can I please, please, please give a testimony? I'll do it by video. So I said, that was fine. And Dan wants to give a testimony about his relationship with his dad and how God's intervened in that this year. So does it sound good to go if I press play? Yeah.
Hi Grace Church! Now, my dad has never been in my life. The last 7 or 8 years or so, we would only talk twice a year. My birthday and Christmas. And that was pretty much a standard thing for me. Don't get me wrong, although it was standard, it really hurt me every year, and I remember there was times where I would just cry about it. Men, never be afraid to cry. I remember I would always pray for my dad and be like, God, please, please let me and my dad have a better relationship, please. And if I'm honest, I never felt like God answered it. Praying for 7 or 8 years, not feeling like I'm getting any response until the year 2014. 2014 was the year I got engaged to my fiance, Becky. I decided to text my dad before I proposed and let him know what was gonna happen. And I was surprised because I actually got a response straight away. When he responded, he seemed really, really excited. And if anything, that was like an awesome news to have, because going from talking to twice a year, even having this one extra text, I thought was amazing. I decided to text back, obviously, so for the first time in a very long time, me and my dad had a conversation. This was the start of change. Me and my dad now talk every single week, and I can only thank God for doing this for me. I thank God that my dad is back in my life. I remember I was on my way to life group, which if you shouldn't, you should definitely join a life group. Great way to get connected to the church. Anyway, I was at life group and I was on the phone to my dad. My dad rang me and he said the three words I thought I'd never hear: I love you. When he said that, I hung up and I remember crying. It was a feeling I'd never had before and it was incredible. The best thing about this whole situation is that I get to thank Jesus for this. I get to thank Jesus for giving me back my dad. Throughout the 7 years, I thought a lot of, wow, God must really hate me for me not to have an earthly father. But God's plan is perfect. And I only see this little bit of the story whilst God sees the whole thing. Jesus knows when the perfect time for us is. It may seem like God isn't answering your prayer right now. Well, take it from me, it takes a long time to get some prayers across sometimes, and it might not be the right time for you, but I promise you that God has the perfect time for you. Just keep praying and God will give it to you. Maybe it'll take one day, maybe it'll take 1 year, maybe it'll take 7 years. Maybe God won't answer it in the way that you want it to happen, but God does answer prayer. Just remember, God's plan is perfect for us. He knows the best time for us. And although they get said in church, I've never fully grasped it until recently. Hold on to the truth that God's plan is perfect, because that right there, that is the truth. Thanks for listening to my story. Have a great rest of the morning. Bye.
We leave that image up there. I don't know, maybe. Maybe not. Okay, so that's Dan. That's great, isn't it? A little testimony there. All sorts of things that we've got going on in people's lives. All sorts of different things. Dan getting his relationship right with his dad. That's fantastic. One of the names I had down this morning was Ashley Kachani. I don't think she's here. I'm just making absolutely sure. No, really, really not here. But you may recall Ashley last year. I don't want to do her testimony for her. But you may recall last year, Christmas 2013, as part of our Christmas event in the evening that we did, we had cardboard testimonies. Do you remember that? And how Ashley and Dave, as a couple, got up and theirs basically talked about how they had several miscarriages and how they were still in faith for God and knew his blessing in their lives. And such a joy. Many of us will be aware of Ashley now facing this Christmas pregnant, and what a joy that is, so many months in, getting further than ever before. So we need to keep them in our prayers and pray for them. But I haven't seen her yet this morning, but she's going to give testimony. And I just mentioned it again, God is at work. He's answering prayers in lots of different ways for people. And that certainly is an area we love to pray for people in, and certainly with Dave and Ash. I know some of us were certainly doing that. So come on, don't be afraid. If you've got issues and challenges that you're working through, it's good to be able to share it, and we can pray for one another as time goes by. Now, Sarah, let's get Sarah Harris up. She's next. Come and give testimony. Okay. Ah, you're on.
Okay. Where do I start? Earlier this year, Steve asked me if I'd head up the three-year-olds at West Point. And he said, there's only about 60 children. And I said, okay. It seemed exciting. And I went home and I said, I'll speak to my husband. And I went home and he said, no, Sarah, you'll get hurt. Because a number of years ago in a church we were in, we had a children's ministry in the community. And we'd minister to 40 children a week, and they would give their lives to Jesus. And then we'd visit their family. And it was suddenly shut down, all of a sudden, for no real reason. And we got really hurt by that. And as I was preparing for West Point, I walked through some real fears of what if I'm hurt again? What if I'm rejected again? What if, you know, what if, what if, what if? And I must say, when I got to West Point, it was like, you know, I've stepped out in faith that this will be okay. On the last day, I felt a whole weight lift off me that I had been carrying for about 10 years. When we first came to this church, we both said, we're not going to serve. because we'd been hurt too many times. And we've done little bits, but this was the biggest project I'd done. And I just praise God that he has taken that hurt away and he has given me joy back in my life. And thank you, Lord.
Fantastic. Isn't that fantastic? Such a joy as well. And Sarah, you did such a great job with the threes at West Point, didn't she? She took that on, built a team, ran that, and just thinks how so many people are at West. West Point, by the way, is a Bible camp we go to every year with the other commissioned churches. Last week, bank week, bank holiday weekend, end of August. Do book in if you haven't gone. Are you doing it again this year, the threes? Is it? Yeah, so Sarah's up running the threes again. So if you wanted to help, and you get West Point free, don't you, if you sign up to serve? So you could do the threes. That's quite a good one because it's morning only and you still get all the main evening meetings. So, you know, that's Steve's tip for how to get the best out of it. Okay, right. Denise Giles is next. Let's give Denise a huge welcome. Fantastic. Right, come on up, Denise. How you can use the... use the stand for your stuff. It's great. And there's the mic. Hold it near your mouth. That's great.
For those of you who know me, you'll know that I've been going through a little bit of a rough time. In the beginning, when I was going through this roughness with my daughter, I was facing violence. I was facing fear. I was facing anxiety. And my property quite often took the brunt of it all. And I had to trust God that I would not be hurt through any of this. When I first became a Christian, I expected like some kind of a miracle to happen where I'd see it instantly before my eyes that my child would be changed and life would then be okay and we could carry on as normal. Though this wasn't quite to be. But I carried on with my faith and I dove into God as much as I could. And all I knew is that I wanted to become more like Jesus and to walk within my faith and do exactly what God wanted me to do. God started showing me through different teachings, different books I read and different things that I saw on YouTube as well to do with teachings on how it was on the best way to tackle the situation I was in. He taught me that it was all to do with your attitude with inside your heart. He taught me that when you pray in faith. And what that means is not just to pray it and then go off to someone else and say, like, my situation is hopeless because you've just prayed for it. So therefore you should live with expectation that what you've prayed for will indeed be answered. And I learned this as I started walking further in my faith. There was one particular occasion where I was out and I was actually really upset. I was really quite distraught and I was praying to God, please let me go home. Let the environment I'm in be safe, be calm, and please don't let there be any more damage to my home. And I sat there for a while and I thought, hang on a minute, what am I doing? I've just prayed, I've just asked for that. I should walk in faith. So I got up and I walked home. And it's okay to walk home and still be scared because you are in faith and you're walking, you're doing this for God. And I came home and everything was calm, everything was fine. And me and my child, we sat and we spoke. The other thing God showed me as well, that when you're up against it and you feel really quite emotionally distraught and you feel like the whole world's against you, the best thing you can possibly do is to go out there and be a blessing to somebody else. And it doesn't matter how small that is. Like my work environment, I work in a cafeteria. So the good thing I can do is when I go into work, I know that people are aware something's going on. You can see it in my face. So the best thing I can do is do it through my attitude and do it through my heart. So I tend to do things like offer to carry someone's tray. And if the customer's rude to me, I'll go and give them some cutlery and some extra water as well and be a blessing to them in their lives. Because no one walks in life and has problems if they might be feeling anxiety in their own life too. To show them grace, goodness overcomes evil no matter which way you walk in life. And I've been given such revelation within my life only the last couple of months. And I have gone from walking in sorrow and pity to walking with enthusiasm and anticipation of what it is God has in store for me now. And I can't wait to get to the end of it. And I can actually look at my life now and I can see great changes ahead of me. Even though I'm still walking in it and I still have fear at times, there is definitely change there. And I wait with anticipation to what the next journey will be.
Brilliant. Well done, Denise. It's fantastic. Fantastic. It's great, isn't it? You know, just say, well, you never know, do you, what's going on in people's lives, what God's working at. Denise has been through some very challenging circumstances at home, which some of you will be aware of and some of you won't. But what a joy to know that God is at work and God is transforming and God's touching people's hearts. She's right, attitude, getting your heart right, living as a witness for Jesus. Well done. I'll take my hat off to you if I was wearing one. But well done. Well done. It's great. Ed, you're up next, mate. This is Ed Mitchell. Let's give Ed a welcome.
Let me introduce myself. I'm Ed, a maths teacher who has been coming to Grace for 6 months. The reason I'm up here today is to tell my story of how the Lord has been so faithful to me through a time of suffering. I was brought up as a Christian and spent my childhood following the Lord, and I was baptized in my early 20s. I went away from the Lord some 8 years ago and have only just returned in the last 6 months. I met my ex-fiancée 6.5 years ago. She was not a Christian, but we had a happy relationship and were due to get married this summer. My trouble started when I became overstressed. My job can be immensely stressful, and about 10 months ago, the school I work at were in the grips of Ofsted inspections. And as the head of maths, I was in the firing line as the maths results were slightly below national average. Couple that stress with planning a wedding and moving house, things became overwhelming. I got to breaking point and had a mental breakdown. I was in a bad way, and I've been diagnosed by doctors with bipolar, which I'm still coming to terms with. My fiancé left me, and it felt like the rug had been well and truly pulled from under my feet. All of my hopes and dreams for the life I had built were in tatters. In my despair, I was looking for answers, and for some reason I picked up a Bible and started to study it. I prayed, and God answered. He gave me the strength to carry on when all seemed hopeless. He taught me to be thankful for the things I have, and to not obsess about the past or the future, yet enjoy the sacrament of the present moment. I feel so appreciative of my renewed relationship with Jesus, and I know he never turned away. He was always there, ready to welcome me back with open arms, like the father of the prodigal son.
Brilliant. Thank you. Thank you, Ed. Pick a microphone. Thank you, Ed. That's fantastic. Again, you hear things going on, isn't it, in people's lives and the challenges. And, you know, we didn't know Ed at the start of this year. And I wonder how many other Eds, if you like, there are out there that are going through all sorts of challenges. People have been away from Christ, people who are coming back to him. We're just going to catch a couple more little bits. Dave Harris, do you want to just come and tell us again? It's about, coming back to faith. Just a testimony in the last few days, really, that you've experienced.
Hi, good morning. This isn't a testimony about me, but I had a friend in an old church, a guy from Ukraine, and he disappeared off the grid, and I hadn't seen him forever. Yesterday, the doorbell went, and in walks my friend. He says, hello. And he got a bit fatter in face. He'd matured. He was now 40 instead of 30-odd. And I said, how's things? He says, I've got a brilliant testimony, Dave. I've come back to the Lord. I've been away 7 years. I got into heavy gaming, games where probably some of you know, war games at night, where you play against people all over the world. And he said, you have to buy ammo and guns, and it was bleeding me dry financially, and I'd be up all night, and I'm a carer, and sometimes I'd go and pick up people and almost fall asleep because I'd had 3 hours sleep. And he said, one night, I had to go and pick up a kid at 6 o'clock in the morning, and I put 3 alarms on, one for 5 o'clock, one for 4:15, and one for 5:30. And he said, I had to be there. It was a new job. And he said, I woke up at 10 o'clock and I felt gutted. And he said, in my despair, the Lord said, started speaking to me, and he sort of said, why didn't you ask me? I'd have helped you. And without keeping it too long, bit by bit, he was in a relationship with a woman who was older than him. He'd been living with her as man and wife for 7 years. And the Lord said to him, he said, I'm your boss. The reason why you backslid originally is whenever you sinned, you beat yourself up. I'm God. I'm the one that judges you. You're not to judge yourself. You've got to get up whenever you sin, brush yourself off, say, I'm sorry, and don't worry about how you feel. Just do what's right. And since then, bit by bit, the Lord's been talking to him. And this is from November this year. So it was only just over a month ago that this started. And since then, he's decided he broke off his relationship, but they're still good friends. He stopped the gambling. He stopped the smoking, the drinking. It's almost like he's been reinstated into a better place than he ever was before. But his testimony just made me weep that he came back. It's typically the prodigal son. And he's not proud about it, but he's willing to share the love of God with everybody he meets. And he says, you've just got to believe that God does pick you up when you ask him to. And he's done it for me. And, you know, I'm going to meet him maybe once a week, share the love of God with him. He can pray for me very willingly. He can teach me where I don't know things and vice versa. But praise God for one sheep who's been brought back after 7 years.
Brilliant. Thank you, Dave. And just important, isn't it, to hear that? I know that's not Dave's personal testimony, but the bit, you count the bit from Dave in there. This is a friend of mine who's been away from God for years. And I wonder who there is in your life that you're praying for and believing for God, you know, that they will come back. And isn't that amazing that in the moment it's God speaking to them? It's not Dave speaking to him. Does that make sense? And we can have faith. Come on, let's have faith to pray and believe that God will work, that he's the one that saves people. And it's God that did the work. And then Dave's going, wow, look at my friend. God did the work. Dave didn't do the work. God did the work. Who are you in faith for this year? Two more this morning. Monica. Let's get Monica up. Well, Monica Hunt, welcome. And we could hear what God's been working at in the background in Monica's life. So that's great.
Okay. I came over to England in 1978. I keep forgetting how long it was ago. So 37 years ago. And people think I might have stayed because of David, but I didn't. he's not to blame, you know. After 6 months of being in England, I knew God wanted me to stay. And so I stayed. When we got married 7 years later. but all the while I was, you know, living in England and so on, it's great to have family and children and granddaughter now. But I always felt God one day, you know, I might be going back for with the gospel in some sort of way. And I decided I'm still a German citizen. I still love Germany. I'm totally settled here and rooted. You know, I'm not torn in any way, but I still have a love for my country and I love my language. And I read my Bible in German at home. And anyway, beginning this year, I sort of felt, you know, my life is very settled and now I'm in my mid-50s. And I thought about this thing of going back to Germany, so in some sort of way with the gospel. And I thought, it's not going to happen now because I'm needed here. You know, I'm looking after my children, granddaughter, and I'm needed here. I can't see how I'm going back. And anyway... The first thing, lovely thing came in the summer. My cousins from East Germany, the first time ever he came to visit me, they wanted to come to church, and that was amazing. But during the summer also, Margaret, Andreas, and Francis came to church, and they had with them a German woman. And Margaret introduced me, I sat next to her. We got on really well. She really, I could tell she enjoyed the worship. And I was thinking, now, is she Roman Catholic? Is she Protestant? Because that's usually the two options in Germany. And I said to her after service, which church do you go to? She said to me, I'm a Mormon. I got baptized in the Mormon faith 20 years ago. And she comes from Dresden, which is East Germany. And I thought, oh, fine, okay. And we walked to the point where you have teas and coffees with the leaders because you don't have to queue up. And she said, oh, I shouldn't really have tea or coffee, but doesn't matter today. I have a cup of tea. And so anyway, I felt with Margaret, and Mark's got another contact in Dresden, a German woman again. And then this woman, this Suzanne, her name is, I think I can tell you, probably won't gossip it around, but she, there are really things going on in their lives. They're heartbroken because their daughter, Hannah, who came on holiday but didn't come to church, she is now in hospital with anorexia. I mean, you know, they're absolutely in a terrible state, and we've been texting, and she's been phoning, we've been ringing. She sent me a little Christmas present. Anyway, to cut a long story short, Francis kindly said to his wife, "Why don't you go with Monica to Germany, to Dresden?" And she came up to me 3 weeks ago, and I said, "Fantastic." And we got on, we booked it that weekend. Everything, the flights are booked, the accommodation, we've got a transfer bus from Berlin to Dresden, and we have got a little apartment in the road where Suzanne is. And all I need now is a good church, because I feel we need to go on a Saturday, go to church on Sunday, and hopefully we feel that Suzanne will come with us, the lady who is a Mormon. And I just want to see this Mormon family, you know, coming to real faith in Christ. And you know, it's never too late. The young man on the thingy bob on the screen, he said 7 years he waited. I've waited 37.
Yeah. Yeah. So Dresden, is that Dresden. East Germany?
It's wonderful. Dresden is like the jewel of East Germany, of Germany, and it has been rebuilt now. So apart from going there to, it's not hardship, I tell you, from visiting and perhaps, you know, sharing the gospel with this lady and her family and the other contact as well, it's just wonderful. And I googled a bit, and they've got loads and loads of churches, but they have got a Mormon temple, which the communists built just before the war came down to show how open and transparent they are to religion. There you go. Okay.
Fantastic. That would have been impossible, wouldn't it, going back? Yeah. 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 Fantastic. So family reunions, how about that? We've had them all here, Mormons from East Germany here during our meetings, enjoying tea and coffee. There we are. So we won't ask about magic underwear, though. Anyway, moving on. you have to... More, no? I'll leave you to look it up for yourselves later on. Okay. So, last one this morning. I like to say, this is last but by no means least, you see. We like to save some of the best till last. So, Neil and Mel Hall going to come and give a fantastic testimony. Let's welcome them together. Hey, spot the teacher with the iPad. There we are.
Thank you. Good morning. Cool. So our testimony is about God's amazing protection over us when we were in a foreign land. For those of you that don't know, although we have had two big Christmas dinners, Mel's actually pregnant. We're expecting our second baby in a month's time. Whee! Mel also has type 1 diabetes, so pregnancy is a bit more complicated for her, and she's classed as a high-risk pregnancy. And with small changes in blood sugar levels being very dangerous for the development and survival of the baby. Mel is expertly managed by a team of specialist doctors here at St. Richard's. We're really lucky with the team that they've been looking after her. And they monitor everything very closely. She has regular checkups and scans. And this summer, we went on a great holiday to Montenegro with all of Mel's family over there. But unfortunately, whilst we were there, most of the family went down with a sickness bug. And for the rest of the family, this was obviously pretty miserable for them. But for Mel, getting a sick bug is, well, a bit of a disaster, really, because she always ends up hospitalised due to not being able to stop being sick. She keeps on being sick and sick again. And her blood sugar levels go crazy with that. So when Mel fell ill in Montenegro, we were pretty worried, as it was fairly early on in her pregnancy. And we knew that it was very risky for the baby. And after several hours of Mel being sick, we knew that we needed to get her to hospital for treatment. So we got in a taxi to find and went to the nearest hospital. As soon as we arrived, we realised just how thankful we should be for our NHS and hospitals we have. because the hospital there was very substandard in terms of facilities, cleanliness, the whole thing, really. And it was almost impossible for us to know where to even go or how to even get treatment when we were there. No one seemed to speak English, and we were standing there clueless in the entrance, wondering what to do. But then Mel came up with the best way for us to get noticed, and that was puke all over the floor.
Yeah. So, you know, at that point we were feeling very worried and unsure about what was going to happen. But the doctors came running and we finally managed to get a consultation. And using a combination of charades and broken English, the doctor did speak a very, very small amount of English. We were given a prescription for some treatment. Anyway, we went into the treatment room and we were met by a couple of nurses, but they didn't speak any English at all. The treatment room that we were in was, it didn't look like a hospital at all. It was very unclean, had no basic equipment. We were kind of really hoping that they would be able to listen and check for the heartbeat of the baby, but they didn't even have the facilities to check my pulse. They set up a drip, which we'd had to go down the road to a chemist. They give you the prescription and then you have to go down to a pharmacy and buy the drugs and all the equipment and then bring it back to the hospital. So they kind of set that all up and were about to sort of administer the medication. And whilst they were setting it up, they kept talking to me, asking me questions. And we didn't have any idea. We couldn't understand them. Communication was completely impossible. We were both silently praying and feeling very anxious about what was going on. Without us really noticing, a girl appeared in the bed next to us and she was having treatment. She was wired up to a drip. Although she looked amazing, not like what I look like, she didn't seem unwell at all. When the nurses kept asking us the same questions over and over again that we couldn't answer, she interrupted and said to us in perfect English that if we wanted, she could interpret for us. Obviously, we were so relieved that someone would be able to help us to understand what was happening. The girl was Montenegrin, but her level of English was as if she was English. She spoke completely perfect English. She spoke to us and to the nurses and then translated back to the nurses what we'd said to her. So we told her that I was diabetic and that I was pregnant. And when she spoke back to the nurses, the chief nurse looked shocked and panicked. And she realised she was about to give us some drugs that were not suitable if you were pregnant. If the girl had got involved 1 minute later, they would just wired me all up. It would have been too late. The nurses stopped. They took those drugs away. They went away. They got different medication to stop the sickness and to rehydrate me, but without obviously posing a risk to the baby. Normally, when I'm sick, I always end up in hospital, and my blood sugar levels normally go really crazy, really high, which is would have been very, very dangerous for the baby. But amazingly, on this occasion, the first time ever, my blood sugars stayed completely stable all the way throughout the sickness. Neil was checking my sugars every sort of 20 minutes. That's never happened before. Almost immediately after I was given the correct drugs, the girl got up and walked out. There didn't seem to be any reason why she was in hospital receiving treatment. The girl was very beautiful and dressed in a white dress. And after coming away, we believe that God sent an angel to protect us and the baby. And we're so thankful to him as we approach the birth of our child. The sick bug could have been disastrous for the pregnancy, but because of God's protection, the baby's development is 100% normal and healthy, and we're 1 month away.
Isn't that fantastic? You know, a young girl in a white dress comes and helps and goes away. We don't know what God does in our lives. We don't know all the different things that he's doing in each one of our lives. But I just want to encourage us as we look into this year. There are so many challenges ahead and there are so many opportunities ahead for God to bless us. And hey, we can give testimony as the year goes on. You don't have to wait for a special Sunday like this one to do that. But it's really important, isn't it, as a church that we're able to share together, to be together, to be a family together, of different nations as well. Just what we had a Scottish testimony, Scotland this morning, which is great. Yeah, still with I thought you said no to that. But so from Scotland and from Ghana, which is fantastic to come from Ghana. Thank you very much, Vivian, for that one. It's fantastic. We really appreciated that one. And I think I'm from Germany as well, which is good. We're all one, can't we? We're one in Christ Jesus together. We're one, young and old, black and white, all different situations in life, some married, some having babies, some going through challenges at home, all sorts of things. And the passage, it said this, that you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you've been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold, that perishes though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honour at the revelation of Jesus. And I don't know what you're going through as we come to the year end. I don't know what you're fearful of in the year ahead. You might be looking forward to it, and that's good, in which case you should rejoice. But sometimes in life there are seasons of huge challenge, health issues, family issues, work issues, finance issues, fears that we live with, many, many more things. It might seem scary, but if you belong to Christ, you can be confident that God is at work in you. He's working through times of trial to purify you, to strengthen your faith. So let these testimonies build your faith today, that God will work in you too, that he will work through you too, that he is working to make you more like Christ, that he will never leave you, never abandon you. Let them build your faith. The good news for us as Christians, even if times are challenging, so we don't have to go through it alone. First of all, we know that God is with us. And 1 Peter 5:7, a little later on in the same book, says, cast your anxieties on him because he cares for you. So you can do that. You bring it to Jesus through prayer. But you're not alone. Not only is God with you, but this is so important that you've got a church family as well. For some of you, maybe it's the year to make a decision to belong. Maybe for some of you, it's time to make a choice to root in. Maybe for some, you've been looking in and wondering, my friends, did you hear how many times it was fellow Christians that encouraged, that brought through, that stood with the life group that came alongside, the welcome that was received, the people that were praying alongside. We need one another. So as we come to the end, I just want to ask Maria, would you come up? Maria said, all right, I just want us to finish by giving glory to God. But as Maria gets ready, let's stand together and I want to pray. I want to pray for this year ahead for you all. And then we're going to praise God and thank him for what he's done with some celebratory worship. So, some of the others of you are playing as well. You come too. But let me pray for you because I recognize that not all testimonies are complete. Does that make sense? Not all testimonies are complete. Some testimonies, there is a sense that they are still ongoing. And so let me just pray right now. If this is you, why don't we just all close our eyes? And I just want to invite you right now between you and Jesus, all right? So everyone eyes closed. If right now you are in a situation where you're under real pressure right now, or you're facing the year ahead with a measure of, I don't know, trepidation, fear, nervousness, anxiety, if that's you, I'm not going to ask you in any way to come forward, but why don't you just raise your hand and I'll pray for you from the front. It's between you and Christ, really. That's great. Okay, I see quite a lot of you. That's a lot of different people facing things. If you're able to, as long as your arm will endure it, just keep your hand up and I'll pray for you from the front. Is that all right? But everyone else, if your hand isn't up, just pray with me in your heart as well. Lord Jesus, I want to thank you. Lord, we receive every testimony we've heard this year in faith, and we say thank you for them. Lord, thank you that you have encouraged people. Thank you that you have protected people. Thank you, Lord Jesus, even for angelic visitations to watch over people. Thank you, Lord God, for aeroplanes that were watched over. Lord, I thank you for people who, even in going through blackness and difficulty and abandonment and rejection, have known that Christ is with them. And Lord God, I want to pray no less than that for each one whose hand is up this morning, each one who's responded in their heart, Lord, as they face difficulty, pressure right now and trepidation for the year ahead. Jesus, I pray that many of these would be testimonies for next year, that many of these would be able to say in the year ahead, the Lord has done this in my life and it's good. God has worked in my life and it's glorious. The Lord has done this and it is marvelous. Lord Jesus, I pray your protection. I pray your healing on those that are sick. Lord, I pray you be with those who go into new places in this year, who are going into new things and don't know what's ahead for them. Lord, would you be with them? Lord, I pray for those who are lonely, that you'd meet and touch their hearts. Lord Jesus, bring healing, bring financial relief. Lord God, would you just lift sickness, anxiety and worry off people? In Jesus' name, Lord God, we commit one another to Christ this year. Lord, would you be with us? And Lord, I pray as a church family, you'd help us to wrap our arms around all those that need it. In Jesus' name.